And we are back live and ready for another episode of the Esports Central podcast. This episode, number 82. Sounds surprising, but number 81 never came out. I'm not going to point fingers or blame or anything like that, but prophecy. Why didn't we get episode number 81, sir?
I mean, I knew that you really wanted to talk about 81 a lot, so I decided to never talk about it myself. And then also, like, I just wanted to be mean to... sorry, I just wanted to be mean to Sargon, because now it's going to truly screw with his mind that he's got an episode 82 but no episode 81. It's going to confuse everybody, but he's going to hate it the most. So
that's great. We should have, like, we can just keep a conspiracy theory, because Sargon can never listen to our podcast himself because he's just too scared to hear the ravaging flame we throw at him. So
yeah. I love that nothing has changed here.
Well, yes, we're still waiting for the day Sargon actually appears on the podcast. I mean, he's had a standing invitation since day one that he's never taken up. He's got many promises of doing this on multiple occasions. He's like, oh no, I'll definitely be there, and then he just doesn't pitch. So until the day he does, he is
classic.
He's forced to live with the knowledge and the fact that he's going to get wrecked on just about every podcast as soon as his name is mentioned.
I actually forgot we used to invite him on the podcast. Now that I think about it in hindsight, why did we even want him here in the first place? But there's an extra voice on our podcast tonight, and that is none other than my homeboy Glenn. He's back. Woo!
I am. It actually feels so good. Like, I can really feel all the salt and anger rising up inside of me. Like, it's... No jokes. It's actually really good to be back on the podcast. It's been a minute, obviously. But yeah, I'm hyped to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you.
And so to also put you in check as well, because I just know you the amount of kind of bullshit. So I'm ready in here to
I gotta say, it's pretty boring with your replacement. You know, we bring up League of Legends. I'm like, it sucks. He's like, it sucks. You know, there's not much to go on there. I don't have that guy to just banter with anymore. Nobody's takes compares to your bad takes, Glenn.
I mean, I'm ready to talk about Valorant being the future. Like, oh, Valorant or whatever, led the future of high tier FPS. There's really my first take, and we've barely started.
So let me ask you a question again. Now that you're on it, you brought up the topic of Valorant. Okay, so the game came out to be the new quote unquote CS:GO killer, and the thing they copied from CS:GO.
No one called it that.
Was the design of CS:GO. And nobody in the history of esports has complimented the design of CS:GO, you know?
Like, I mean, yeah, look, okay, look, I think, I don't know.
For me, the best was them, like, stating that it's never going to happen that abilities will be able to, like, kill players. They didn't say categorically, but they're like, abilities won't be able to kill players. What's the first trailer? Dude running around with five knives out, just stabbing people in the head with them. I'm like, does not seem reasonable.
I mean, look, we all know Riot Games is a small indie company, right?
You know, indie company of 1,500 employees, right? And $1 billion turnover.
Look, I'm not surprised that Valorant is the way that it is. I mean, look, I haven't paid much attention to it, I'll be honest. I haven't really been checking it out. Obviously, again, I mean, I'm on console, so it's not like the first thing I look for. But I mean, I'm not surprised by how it looks and what I'm hearing. I mean, Riot Games didn't change as a company overnight. So, like, you know, the guy, I think, Raze, as everyone's been complaining about, like, everyone just sat there going, how did this get allowed into the game? And then Riot's like, yo, no, guys, no, you know, we're getting your feedback. We'll take a look at it. Like, I mean, it's League of Legends all over again, which is, in a way, kind of comforting, because it's like, you know, it's the devil, you know?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll say this, that, Doc, they have been very, very good with their PR thus far. They've mended bridges. They were happy to allow Richard Lewis, who is, like, probably their arch enemy in many ways. They were happy to allow him to stream the game, to have whatever opinion he wanted on the game, he was allowed to give. There was rumors that they reached out to Thorin, another, like, you know, arch enemy that they've made over the years. So basically just anybody, almost, as far as I know, was allowed to give any comment that they wanted on the game. And you know, it's a way to mend bridges. Whether they can maintain that is a different story. But
yeah, look, I think when it kicks into esports mode, that becomes where things are very different. And, you know, tensions rise and stuff. So we'll see how, you know, how that goes. But I mean, League, yeah, like I think there's a big future for the game. I think Riot has arguably done it really well with League of Legends, and relative to how everything else is going. So I assume, you know, I kind of predict they'll do really well again with Valorant or Valorant, whatever you call it.
I mean, I agree completely. It's shocking. I'm agreeing with Glenn here, but whether I like the game or not, whether most people like the game or not, is irrelevant. The size of Riot and the fact that there's going to be at least a good FPS out there for free that's backed by Riot and Tencent, it's going to definitely be a success. Like, obviously, yeah. Touch wood when I say that, because you know how these definites go in esports, but from what I've seen, I think it'll be successful. Definitely. Yeah. So,
I mean, look, the thing is, it was very much showcased as the CSGO killer, but I mean, it seems to be what Overwatch should have been, is the way it's actually seemingly going to break down, because with all the abilities, with all the different characters and all that kind of thing, it seems much more of like an Overwatch type game than a CSGO, which is, you know, very, very bare bones. There's nothing like, you know, super fancy about CSGO. And look, if they can make it work, it'll just, you know, shove further misery onto Blizzard, because Blizzard had this game 4 years ago and they screwed it up. So if Riot can make it work, all props to them.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Balance Takes. What fucking podcast is this even? Actually. Okay. So before we get into our main story and why we have Glenn back and all of that, there was just some esports, basically BuzzFeed level shit going on that I think we should just bring up just for the heck of it. Okay, there's been lots of drama going on in the esports world on the Twitter, but the one I thought was the most hilarious was Slasher and Monty absolutely just hammering each other. And I don't know, I'd be biased to Monty, but I think he wrecked Slasher at the end of that exchange.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is that, like, especially the way, like, he ended it was, like, it was a pretty brutal come down, where he's, like, anybody that listens to Slash's financial opinions is just, like, pretty much an idiot.
Look, but I mean, I got to the part, I mean, when I last looked at it, was when Slasher tried to highlight Renegades getting banned. Which is like, I think we talked about it on the group. Like, I mean, that was like lame. I was like a lame.
It's not even lame. It's just like you're clear. Like, the problem is that whole situation going down was like Monty was just the guy that got screwed in the end.
Yeah.
And everybody knows he got screwed. Like, it wasn't that like he did anything wrong. It was just like Riot coming down like the hammer of God on Monty because Monty's like apparent partner was a bit shady. Well, a lot shady.
That's, I mean, it was a lot. Look, it's a lot. But the point of it, at the end of the day, no matter what arguments you have there, Monty, we can all agree on, no matter what fence you're on, like, we can all agree Monty got screwed.
Yeah.
So, but like, for Slash, you go like, oh, yeah, well, you know, your team got banned. It's like, that's a bit misleading. Yeah. Like,
yeah. He still sold it for a seven-figure sum. So, he definitely came out of that ahead, let's put it that way. Like, not as ahead as he could have been, but like, that's through no fault of his own.
But Monty's just someone you shouldn't really go for. Like I think everyone, like, Monty just has like this, like, his persona so calculated. He's like that, like, typical, like, badass character in, like, anime that looks right. Like that, like, quiet, like, the Sasuke of like real life. Like, that's how he is. So for people to go up against him, I'm like, dude, that normally doesn't end well. Like, not even Riot Games will, like, put him on blast, really, because they know it just does not go well. Like, he's just too considered.
Yeah,
I mean, hilarious, because you see Slasher go at Thorin all the time, and Thorin is kind of unhinged. So he's an easy target. Like, fucking Slasher wrecks him all the time, but Monty, you try and go for Monty was mad. Let me just read the one tweet. He's like, listen to Slasher, literally unemployed in esports for years. The incident mentioned absolutely had nothing to do with the business and nothing to do with me. Since this event, I have run and owned my own esports business and consulted to hire for major companies. Meanwhile, Slasher's business contribution to the industry was causing massive loss in revenue from his employers, OddGamer, by getting the site banned from vote manipulation on Reddit and caused multiple people to lose their jobs. And I read that, I was like, shit. Damn.
That's the basis of why Thorin and Slasher like hate each other so much at the moment, is because Slasher doing what he did basically cost Thorin and the entire company their jobs.
Oof. Yeah, and you think it's wild because actually, when I'd forgotten about that whole thing until it was mentioned, like until like Monty brought it up, and it's like that was such a hectic time. Like, I mean, that was like so early on in the years. Like they could, that website could have been everything. It could have been like, you know, one of like, you know, those companies that people invest like angel investments in, and like Slash just completely ripped that away.
Yeah, he basically for the dumbest reason. He basically prevented them from posting, for anybody that doesn't know. There was a lot of other shady stuff going on in the background, but it essentially what happened was that Slasher, through making a very, very bad decision with regards to posting content on Reddit at the time, essentially got the entire site banned, which meant that the site could not make any more money since Reddit drives so much... they drive so much revenue and certainly clicks for articles that when they got banned from Reddit, they basically, the company went under within the next 2 months.
And this is early days as well, where like Reddit was the only way people got information.
2014, yeah.
Yeah, like that's when Reddit was the only source of also like of aggregated information. So you can imagine like in that time, if you weren't on Reddit, like if you didn't get posted on Reddit, like you didn't get any content, any views.
Especially
So that's what I'm saying, especially esports and in the gaming world. So if you get banned on Reddit in the game, like it's obviously a big deal anyways, but like in the gaming world, that literally is your death.
Yep.
Like you cannot get any views. And if you don't get views, no advertising, no revenue, and
food. Yeah, it's just everything's gone.
All right. I didn't even know that whole history. But the second point of beef I want to bring up here, I think this is like, I'm not going to call it drama, but and I think we've been doing this a lot on the podcast, like three times now we've mentioned our thoughts on esports and COVID together, but the one thing I completely agree with Sir Scoots, and people can call me a virtue signaler or whatever, I don't give a fuck. When he called out Thorin and ESL, rightfully so, for fucking sending people through to a broadcast studio during a fucking global lockdown and pandemic, and he just said, this is like, he called them out first nicely. He's like, yo, guys, we need to stop this wars and shit. Just do the thing from home. It doesn't make a difference. Then the second time, he just fucking went at them. And Thorin, he just got all upset. Like, oh, how can you say we could have murdered somebody? Fuck you, man. But at the end of the day, if that's your only defense, I'm offended. You know you're full of shit, Thorin. And I don't think fucking esports broadcasts are essential service in any way. So, Sir Scoots, thank you for wrecking those fuckers, and rightfully so. But yeah, people.
Like Thorin's his friend as well. Thorin is a good friend of his. So like, it's not like, oh, you know, they have previous beef. It's legit. Like he's worried about his own his friend's health and safety. So
yeah,
it takes a lot more than just what most people would think to like wreck your friends to that degree.
Yeah, for sure,
100%.
I mean, it looked. I mean, there was a lot of tweets that went out afterwards from Scoots. He's like, yeah, you learn who really your friends are and stuff. So I don't know if this cost them the relationship or something. But, I mean, this is the level of stance you need to be taking. Or not need to be taking, but this is the level of emotions that are going through people right now. I mean, it's people's safety involved. Esports broadcasts can be done at home. Bedroom broadcasts are a thing. Fuck the studios. Just stay at home, man.
Yeah. But I mean, like I think the issue, right, is like, and I think it's a topic that's coming up more and more. And I think the longer we're in lockdown, the bigger of a conversation is going to be, which is around like health versus economy, right? Like where people are sort of, you know, the argument is kind of like, well, you got to keep the economy going because that also helps, you know, people die, the economy dies. And then other people are also going, yeah, but, you know, people's safety comes first. And so it's like, I think it's a conversation that everyone's just been getting heated about. And obviously it's like a heated conversation because it's about money at the end of the day, right? Like, yeah, it's about, you know, the healthcare of people, but people, the argument always comes down to like money. And so I think it's a very, very sensitive topic. We're going to see more people blowing up about it across everywhere, right? Like, I mean, this is the thing, it affects every industry.
There's even the debates in South Africa right now that we, you know, perhaps the we've been going too long with our lockdown because it's starting to affect us, and it's going to affect every aspect of society very soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a huge drama when one of the a beauty blogger like put out a tweet like literally just saying, "Ah, oh, man, I'm like really sad about the lockdown. Like, I'm heartbroken. People need to go back to work." Essentially, like she got torn into, and so like I think everyone just has, it's high emotions around it.
Yeah.
And you're gonna keep seeing it, even in esports as well. Like, even though obviously we're like less affected and or more adaptable in the sense that we can always do online, I still think it's a conversation that's gonna, you know, that is affecting gaming and esports, so it's going to be here for a while, and I think people are going to get, you're going to see more fights around people just getting bleak about it, you know, personal.
Yeah, people sitting at home the whole day, nothing but scrolling through the timeline as well. That can't help either.
I mean, it doesn't help. I'm going to be honest. I think I've spent less time on Twitter since I've gone into lockdown than I did previously. Like, when I've sat at home, it's like I actually have less desire to look at Twitter because it's just everybody on that platform sometimes just feels like they're having a bad day and they're all taking it out on each other.
But I mean, also sometimes you need to switch off your phone or like disconnect, right? Because the problem with lockdown as well is everyone's not expected to be by their phone. Yeah. I think like some like on a weekend, like I sometimes just literally put my phone away for like half the day, just because like others I feel obliged to keep checking it all the time. Like someone made such a good point; it was so interesting. They were saying like Twitter, or they were doing the whole meme on Twitter, that format of what's better than something else, and someone's like, Mixit's better than WhatsApp. And then someone was like, yeah, bro, it was so dope because you could actually just log out. Yeah. And it's so funny that we've completely normalized that it's become normal logged in.
Yeah, you're just unplugged. Unplugged from the fucking Matrix, basically.
Like, and it just blew my mind because I was like, that's how different the world is now. Like, Mixit was kind of telling you, yo, log off. Even Netflix to a degree, kind of, you know, obviously the business model doesn't actually allow that. But Netflix even goes, hey, guys, like, log off. Whereas as you look at Twitter, you look at social media, like you're always on all the time, and push notifications is the default. So it's just, yeah, it's a wild time. Like I think just right now, the global pandemic and everything, it's a crazy time. And even in gaming and esports, it's a crazy time.
Yeah. Well, let's segue to that, because otherwise we can sit here and talk about our depressed lockdown stories the whole day.
Yeah, listen, I'm living my best life, guy. I've been actually sleeping more than ever. I'm not even drinking. Like, I've stopped smoking. Like, I'm
literally... That's mostly because the government says you're not allowed to do either of those two.
No.
Let's be real. Let's be real again.
Look, the cigarettes, I've literally got a box and a half chilling with me, and I haven't touched it in days. The drinking, yes. My supply ran out 5 days ago, which happens to coincide the time that I decided to quit.
Oh,
then
man.
Listen, I won't lie. I didn't miss it as much as I thought I would. That's the thing. Really? Like, that's why I know I'm living my best life. It's like, I actually don't miss alcohol. Like, I'm just like in a good mood. Like, I mean, I'm stressed and stuff, obviously, with like everything going on. But like, I actually have not missed it as much as I thought I would. So, yeah, man.
Well, in Glenn's positivity, and the reason we brought him on this podcast is not because I like to banter with him, even though he's gone soft in his old age and doesn't even fucking argue with me. I brought him on because he's now taken a step into the TO world. Bring back sports, Glenn. What was the motivation behind this stuff? Because just some background on Glenn before he even starts us. He's a big shot marketing guy. That's the only reason we kept him around before. You know, we were just waiting for those AB and Bev dollars to come. And now he's brought him here. Hopefully we're going to get paid right then.
Listen, I don't know about the big shot part, but I'm thankful. Thanks for finally telling me the truth about why I kept on the podcast for so long. It's good. It's good to know. It's been quite a crazy time. So obviously with sort of, you know, COVID happening and hitting everyone, and that's when social distancing was already being a thing. Like people, you know, obviously government's kind of telling people, all right, everyone needs to be, so, you know, staying at home more. And then obviously when the lockdown came into effect, that obviously forced everyone to stay at home. And so like, I mean, obviously gaming is obviously a massive passion for all of us and esports. And it's been, you know, trying to get brands to finally look at gaming quite seriously. And I think during the lockdown, the cool thing was, obviously amidst, you know, the harm and the damage that's done, there are pockets of opportunity, and I think this has been like a huge moment for gaming globally to like get recognized, but specifically from a brand point of view. And that's kind of, you know, where I started thinking about this tournament, like let's create a tournament and show brands we can do this. And then I was like, you know, but on the other side, I was all like, this is a very difficult time for the country and like money's really scarce. So let's make it a charity event. And that's kind of how I came up with the Bring Back Sports concept, right? Was very much kind of going, sports is canceled. And so initially I actually looked at doing NBA 2K and FIFA. I got two sports, and then it was like, was looking at how do we get mobile involved. But then, you know, finally landed on FIFA 20 and sort of PUBG Mobile to do that. And I wanted to bring in musicians as well, because obviously, like, you know, the eventing side of things, I mean, we were talking about it earlier, the event industry is like screwed.
Yeah.
A ton of jobs like completely wiped out overnight. And part of those, you know, and part of the, you know, the people that make up the ecosystem of eventing is musicians. And so that's kind of why I approached Tex from Texas City. I mean, she's a very, very, you know, close friend of mine. And asked her, like, you know, would you think this would be a rad idea? Could we bring musicians on board who also enjoy playing games? And yeah, and then here we are today, like with this crazy idea that's actually becoming something quite real.
And it's pretty awesome. I like the inspiration. Oh, I like the message. I don't know if we spoke about the Bring Back Esports on the foregone last week's 81 cancelled episode, or it's before that.
Are we still holding on to? Are we still holding on to 81?
Dude. It was there. It was in my dreams. It was supposed to be there. But I guess it's worth it. In the end of the day, if it confuses Sargon, I'm happy with it. You know.
Well, like I said, it's going to confuse and upset him, because I don't think he's going to be able to accept that he's got an 82 but doesn't have an 81.
You know, his lizard brain is just going to like.
What if this becomes episode 82? I mean 81. Like, what if he just goes,
because we've been
talking
about it the entire episode.
Welcome to episode 81. There, Sargon, I helped you. Now you can put that clip at the beginning, and then boom.
If only he knew how to do actual editing.
I literally realized my mistake.
I don't know if Lizard Brains Cat is in it. But the point is, Glady's siding with Sargon, and that, ladies and gentlemen, why we booted his ass off.
Listen, to be fair, he is helping. He is involved. I mean, he did let me get Esports Central to talk about this tournament. Oh, no, not tournament. Sorry, charity event. I need to clarify that. It's actually a charity event and not a tournament. That has been one of the biggest learnings. I think it's just like for me, because like obviously I haven't been in the TO space, right? And I think it's been pretty eye-opening getting involved in it and just seeing how like sort of how everyone works and, you know, works with each other.
Listen to this man.
I mean, no. Not throwing shade and shit. I just think
he's a businessman now, prof.
He's a politician is what he is.
I take mad offense at all of this shit. Not at all. I'm Joe Exotic running for governor, okay? That's who I am in the world of TO. I'm Joe Exotic. Where I've just came in. It's like, what up? I don't know what I'm doing, but we're here. Let's
so
go.
You're a homosexual man with multiple husbands.
I realized Joe Exotic probably wasn't the best example to use.
Yeah, he was a terrible league, but I got a nickname
as
for you regardless.
I said it. Look, I mean, I'm
the sneaker king.
Yes, I love that. Actually, I hate that because we don't need to bring up my sneakers. Maybe I'll give a pair of sneakers for charity. Who knows?
Oh, I'm One ready. Day. I'm a size 10. Thank you very much. Okay, so
We could do that. No, bet. No, jokes. Actually, I would never.
I'm ready.
I would never in a million years.
I'm ready because you know you're going to get whooped. So anybody listening to this podcast on Saturday, I'm playing Glenn live stream match on FIFA. Everything's on the line. All our pride from all our arguments is put on this game, and I'm gonna whoop him, okay? Easy peasy.
I mean, I will see. Look, I did play against Grant. That was a good warming up. I mean, it was close games, but I think with you, I've been dusting off my controller. So I think I'll be ready for this weekend. You be ready.
I'm ready. Okay, so on the topic of learning curve so far. Becoming in TO, right? You brand new out here. Obviously, it's still the charity event and stuff. But
yeah.
What was the... Because I felt like from insider perspective, trying to be a part of this thing, it felt like on day one, there was a bit of a case of like, okay, you see some pro players coming in there. They're ready for like a tournament and stuff. You get musicians there, like just looking for a casual game. I mean, we had unfortunate events with the brackets and things. So it was a rough day one to start.
Yeah, no, look, it was, like I said, it was a huge learning curve. I think we came into last weekend kind of going, look, let's just get this going. Let's just start it off and see where we need to iron out the details. So like, it was definitely like a big wake up call. Well, not a wake up call, because I didn't assume everything was going to go perfectly. But yeah, I think it just gave me a lot that I needed to think about and work out, so that this weekend is a completely different thing. Like, you know, I mean, we got the registration links out yesterday. The registration process also is a lot easier. It's simpler without kind of, you know, looking at more middlemen software. So I think like overall, it's looking a lot better. And I'm just really excited about like how, you know, showing how much I've learned just in that short amount of time for this weekend.
All right. That's really great. I mean, it's a good place to start off in terms of making the mistakes, right? It's a tournament. Obviously, the charity, not a short change of charity.
Yeah, like I think that's what also helps.
We had 2,000 rand donated and stuff for that thing, but it's a case of, okay, listen, yeah, we're trying something, right? Everybody's going in knowing that.
Look, I mean, I think what also kind of helps is that it is a charity event, right? I think I would approach it very differently if it were an actual, you know, a proper tournament with prize pools and things. I think that's obviously a different world. You know, people are a lot harsher with that. But yeah, I think people are generally pretty forgiving just because, again, it is a charity thing. But obviously, that's no excuse. Right. I mean, it's just like, it's more that it's my first time. And that's cool. But like I said, I think there's a lot of lessons I learned. So I'm pretty excited to show what we're going to do this weekend. Because I think, yeah, just to put a lot of planning, a lot of process in place. So then I think after this weekend, then you guys can shit on me next week and be like, oh man, that TO bring back sports, they're garbage.
Don't you know? We can't do that now. Since you're a big shot TO, and the South African esports thing to do is just to kiss your ass and hope we get paid 2,000 right to cast the weekend. You know, that's standard diplomacy in the scene. Take notes.
He does have a point.
No, listen, I'm kidding.
I'm in the scene now. It's pretty interesting. Look, I mean, I don't know what the future's going to hold for it. And, you know, I think we're going as we, you know, we're taking things as we come. But yeah, like I think it's been pretty cool being like on the other side, like being on the TO side of things. Yeah, that's definitely been some like pretty eye-opening, which I think is quite cool.
So another aspect of this I'd like to ask you about, because obviously you come from the marketing and the business side as your profession, and now doing it for the esports. What are some of the things you guys as a tournament organizer or obviously a charity initiative now are looking at in terms of what you and the brands want to be seeing from this event?
Look, so I think one of the big things I came in with this is I want to show that, you know, part of this whilst doing good is also to show brands, how gaming can work and how it can give you ROI, right? I think ROI is this big word we don't often talk about. Or at least we didn't talk about it very often, or not as often as we should have in the past. And so one of the big things is, you know, the brands that I've got on board. So, you know, you've got the guys from Red Dragon, Tartronics, Red Bull, Vodacom, like all of these guys getting on board, which has been amazing. But I think right off the bat, I kind of told them, here's your ROI. Like this is, and I actually put a number down in my proposal. I said, this is the number I can guarantee you will get, or I can guarantee you to a high degree that you will get in terms of, you know, your ROIs. And that's kind of been my approach to this. And I told them, it's not a fancy number. It's not about impressions. I didn't put like, you know, the potential impressions earned by people just scrolling past. I put actual like hard numbers of like, this is exactly how many people I can guarantee this will go out to, or your brand will be seen to. And then everything else is a bonus. So I think I've taken it from that approach has been quite cool. Because again, obviously I know being on the brand side of things, people obviously love to sell you dreams. And that's something I really want to avoid. I mean, it's something we've spoken about at length on this podcast. And especially now with the spotlight on gaming, I think we have to be, you know, as exciting as it is, and there's a lot of opportunity here, we've got to be really careful about
how we
market ourselves. Because virtually all eyes are on us, right, in the game space. Like I can guarantee you the amount of calls I've had. I mean, obviously based on the charity thing, you know, on Bring Back Sports, the number of calls from brands and things that I want to get involved going forward, or just people asking about what gaming is, how does it work, you know, it's huge. Like the people, like it's in boardrooms, like gaming is brought up in boardrooms right now. Oh, I say boardrooms, Zoom conference calls.
Those are technically boardrooms.
Zoom and gaming is like, it's like one and same thing at the moment. So that's cool because it means there's eyes on us, but it also means, you know, we've got to be really careful not to burn bridges because this is a huge opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with that completely. And we see globally, that's also what's happening, right? You see Slasher, the classic guy spouting, oh, esports is the new thing now, putting his fucking that graph meme all the time and stuff. But I think it is important to just recalibrate and still be honest about things. Yes, we have inflated numbers and stuff right now, but look at the state of the world. We're in a rough position. There's no need to pretend that this is anything it is. And I think you're probably a good guy to do that because, I mean, you spent 50 somewhat episodes on this podcast telling people that this is a bunch of shit, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, I kind of, you know, and I think it's going to be interesting because I know, especially now being on the TO side, people are going to be like, hey, you said this shit. Like, what are you doing? Which I think is like, you know, it comes to the territory. That's cool. Like when you're outspoken, shit will come back to you for sure. But yeah, I do think there's a lot of lessons I have taken already, you know, beforehand, just from having been on the other side, of things I don't really want to do and mistakes I don't want to make. So to your point, like, you know, looking at like last weekend, I was like, yeah, no, that was a bit of a fuck up at the beginning, right? Like we did well in terms of, you know, from a marketing point of view, but in terms of like playing like the experience, like it just was a bit of a nightmare, like 100%. But I mean, the cool, you know, the big thing is going, okay, cool. Yeah, that was a mess, right? What went wrong? Fixing that and then preparing for, you know, the next weekend and improving on that. Like that's the thing at the end of the day, like I want to improve. And I mean, it's going to be a process. Like it's been an eye opening thing. So, and I want people to call me out on shit. Like if I'm doing things differently, I mean, yeah, I've been doing it for years. So can't handle the heat, get out the kitchen and I'm staying here. So
Prof, on your side, what is your general impressions when you think about, when you saw the Bring Back Esports come out and you saw our boy Glenn getting involved in this side of things, what are you things you looking to see from a spectator's point of view?
Well, I mean, like Glenn's obviously, I think he's been tangentially involved in esports for a long time, but never been, you know, actively or directly involved like a lot of us have been. So it was just interesting to see that, like, he felt he could get something done. And for me specifically, was just the number of different sponsors that you got and how quickly they joined up. Because I mean, like, obviously Red Bull's been in the industry for a while, but you'd think that like Red Bull must be doing horribly at this point, at this stage, just because people are not allowed to go buy their products. So sure, you can go to the shops to go buy that, but Red Bull doesn't really strike me as something that's high up on people's priority lists. So I mean, they're obviously a surprise to me. Red Dragon, I mean, you'd think that any sort of PC peripheral company at the moment, they can't even ship product. So yeah. How in the hell do they have, you know, marketing budget to be spending now? I suppose. In a way, you could say that they're probably going to pull it from later on in the year, but it's just surprising to me is the number of sponsors that you got.
Yeah, look, I think one of the big things is that the lockdown has halted like fulfillment, right? To rewarding people, a lot of brands just can't do it because obviously they're not essential services. So in terms of the prizes and you know what the brands or your sponsors are bringing, they are bringing a lot of product. And obviously that stuff can only get shipped in afterwards. But there are some things that like Vodacom has brought on board that we're looking at organizing is in-game vouchers, for example. So those are things we can actually like execute on quite quickly and obviously quite timelessly. There's a whole bunch of other things that are in the works that are also getting finalized this week that have more immediate rewarding. But stuff like Red Bull and those things that are obviously gonna have to happen later. And some of the bigger prizes we have on hand, and I don't really want to say anything just yet, because again, it's all being finalized, but that stuff will absolutely only get shipped after lockdown. But I think it's in this time that we're in this time where like some brands are going, cool, do we just shut the fuck up for the rest of the lockdown? And for some brands, that's what they're going to do, right? They're not going to say anything. But for other brands, like they're also going, they need to do something for the future, right? Like lockdown, just because lockdown gets lifted doesn't mean things go back to normal. Like the world will forever change. So brands need to still be talking, right? And finding ways of talking about it. I think everyone's just sort of adapting to that. So I think that's that, you know, and then even doing a production, you know, without being able to do it in a studio or with people on set and together has been a huge challenge and a huge learning curve as well. A huge sort of obstacle to kind of overcome. Obviously with gaming, it's a lot easier to do that, which is why we're able to still do esports, you know, and esports is thriving. But yeah, brands need to talk still, even if we are in lockdown, and they need to find ways of doing it. And I think everyone just adapts as they go. Yeah.
I mean, brands also have to find new ways to market now, because I mean, some traditional things like road signs and such, they don't really exist anymore, right? Because you can't go outside really.
Yeah. No, look, like it's been, I think I actually saw of an agency called Rebel. They popped up on Biz Community. One of the articles there. I'm talking about how they're doing sort of like in-game advertising, and it's so funny because that's something that no one's really been doing. Well, I've never really given it much thought aside from when it first popped up like years back, and it was like this really novel thing. But you're actually finding that people actually like that's starting to pick up now. So even things that you used to be able to do, like, you know, obviously you can't do out of home stuff anymore. You can't do giant billboards and building wraps because obviously no one's really outside to see them. So it's kind of like recreating that in game is like this idea that people are sort of floating around and looking at. And then when I spoke to the guys, and it's like they're doing some interesting stuff. So I think, yeah, like brands absolutely have to find new ways to speak. And obviously that just positions gaming in this really dope way of being able to do it in a way that makes sense. And I think that's going to be the trick as well. It's like, obviously everyone wants to just jump into gaming now because it's like the hot property at the moment, but you also have to just think about like who you're speaking to. Like the day I see like skip Super Cup, or like, you know, bring back skip event or something. I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, I think that'd be hilarious, because right. It wouldn't really make sense to see like a washing company. But on the other hand, I also, you know, you never say never because you never know. But you know what I mean? Right. I think brands now are just needing to adapt and find new ways of talking. And I think it's not just from a gaming point of view, but just in general. Like, if you see like how people are using, like, are filming within their homes, and like, you know, the onus is on the editor to like put together the shit hot ABC TV or TVC, that's also like a huge learning curve now, and people having to adapt on like, how do you shoot content that you can't control all the variables, like the lighting and the device and all of those things. So it's interesting time.
It is. So now, in terms of longevity in the scene, so obviously we've got the Spring Bat Esports initiative going, but is it a sort of trial run from you, from your end, or is it a case of you looking now towards the future as well? I know it's still early days and stuff, and you just started, but what's the thinking there?
Look, I think for me right now, my focus is like just learning and improving from last weekend and just pulling off like a really great, slick event. Like, that's like my focus right now. In terms of like what happens in the future, like, I don't know. Like, I think I'm really enjoying the space and that I'm in right now. Even though it's still early days, I'm really enjoying it. I think there's a lot of potential here. So I don't imagine I'd be walking away anytime soon. But what that looks like going forward, like, I have no clue yet. Like, I'll have to give it a think, and then also just learn from this, right? Because I mean, that's what literally Bring Back Sports is like. This, it's an experiment, really. That, you know, we put together in under a month. From concept, like just literally from the idea to actually executing, like it's been less than a month, which is insane. So it is an experimental thing. And so, you know, what it looks like going forward, like, I don't know. But I do think I'll be in the space. I think I do enjoy it. And I think I see a lot of potential, like great opportunity to do like rad things.
Well, that's good to hear from our end. Any other thoughts on things you'd like to see in future from our new tournament organizing friend, Prophecy?
I mean, like, how difficult has it been for you to twist the arms of sponsors during this period? Or have they the ones that, you know, happily jumped on board and just given what they could?
Yeah, look, I think it actually went surprisingly well. I didn't expect to get this much support so early on. But I think, again, without tooting my own horn, I do think the idea of just approaching it with going, here's our ROI, like here's an actual number we're being held to. And this is why it makes like monetary sense. Like, I approach it very business-like in how I put together the proposals and adding all this information. So when you kind of give it all up, you know, all on the table like that, it's gone surprisingly well. But on the other hand, it's also been tricky because obviously brands don't know how to talk anymore. Like, now that we're all in lockdown and it's looking to go on for a while, like, people are confused at how to, like, brands are confused at how do they speak now? Where do they speak? What platforms? Like, what's the new strategy? Like, so it's also like some brands are kind of going, we're still figuring out where we want to be. And only once we figure that out, then we can, you know, potentially work with you or not. So I think that's also kind of, it's been tricky. So there's been a blessing and a curse for it. But I think these meetings, I mean, the chats with sponsors now went really well. But I think, you know, Red Bull and Vodacom and Red Dragon and the rest, they're not new to the gaming scene. So it's a lot easier to convince people like that, because they have experience and understanding of this ecosystem you're involving them in. But with other brands, it'll be interesting. We'll see how things go, and if more jump on board.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've had you here for a while, but it is important to, I mean, on this podcast, but I mean, it is important to also realize that Glenn has just started getting into the side of it in the gaming scene, right? So it was nice to have you on for this time, but I think I'm sure we'll probably be having conversations again in the future, yeah. Eh, Glenn?
No, like 100%. I think it will be a lot more conversation in general, just so you start to see like more brands get involved in gaming. Like, I think it's going to be quite a wild ride, like, for everybody involved, like for the whole scene, and, like, you know, and good and bad. So we'll see how it plays out, but like, hopefully I'll do my part. like, that would, you know, after yeah, we'll see.
All right, so coming to the close, to more of the ending part of the episode, anything you want to put out there, Glenn? Last words, final thoughts, shout out, some banter?
I mean, where can we actually find your events?
Yeah.
Is it taking place on specific platforms? What's happening?
Yeah. So we're going to be having the stream. So there'll be a YouTube stream that Nodwin will have. We'll put out links later this week, just with the, but it's Nodwin Gaming. I'm on YouTube. So we will be streaming the PUBG there. And then we're looking at leveraging everyone else's streams as well that we've got involved. Very much like we did last week with like Grant. So we'll be putting out their information as well of whose streams you can watch as well if you want to watch it from a specific POV in terms of that person. We're also looking at, and I mean, we're still having discussions on the technical aspect of doing this, is actually having like a secondary stream, very much like GD Studios. So it's going to be a bit more informal, like very bantery, and also just talking from more from a general gaming point of view. And that's going to be quite a rad stream. I think it'll be really cool to do. So we're busy working on, you know, working out exactly how we do that from a technical point of view, like in logistics. So you can check out everything there, but otherwise also check out Text in the City, that like literally Text TEXX. And the city. She, all the information kind of goes to them. I mean, she's been my partner in crime in this, as well as obviously with Nodwin, you know, Nodwin Gaming getting on board. So the check out Text in the City or Nodwin, all the information will always be seeded on those platforms as well. Obviously, as well as my own.
All right. Plugs.
Oh, and then one last thing to add, is just to say, like, I've given a lot of shit over the years. But I'm very willing to take it as well. So, like, you know, even if I'm sitting on the TO side for now, yeah, man, like, give me your feedback, give me your criticisms. You know, hopefully I can, you know, handle it well. And then I can, you know, I can improve on things and do things better.
No. Hey, come on. You're involved in ZA Esports now, Glenn. You have to passively aggressive sub and sub tweet whatever anybody tells you. Let's get
That's the exact way. We've all done it. Let's be honest. We've all done it, except for Camille, but. He's willing to play Scorched Earth Tactics.
It's so funny, man. It's so fucking funny. And some tweets I hate, man. Just fucking at the bitch, man.
It's less fun that way, though.
Because, you know what? Let me just fucking break down ZA Esports from, like, maybe the spectators' point of view, the guys who are new. This is how it all happened. Somebody will put out something. Then somebody else will go and subtweet it. Then everybody in their own WhatsApp groups and Skype groups will endlessly talk about this fucking subtweet when you can just be like, listen, yeah, I have a problem with this. Full stop. Finish. Done. Easy peasy. But it'll never not happen. Enjoy
because
the subtweet.
Then it's over too quickly. You don't want 7 seconds of magic. You want 7 hours of it.
Yeah.
Look, global esports, these guys go in on each other. They just, the thing is, they don't even know, they don't even tag each other, they just say each other's full names.
Yeah.
Like, they're not even handle. They just.
That's because they're all homies. Like, yeah, that's because they're all homies from back in the day, though. So it doesn't sort
no,
of.
No,
like...
no, no, true. Because now they're just like, Richard, boom. Not even his handle, not his surname, just Richard. And it's just boom, go in. A Monty, a boom, go in. But I mean, to your point, these guys are so big now, no one else has their names. Like, yeah. You just say Monty, you say you thought, yeah, but you know exactly who, you know, you just say Duncan. Everyone knows who you're talking about. There's only one Duncan in esports.
Ah.
There's only allowed to be one Duncan in esports.
I mean, who would want to be Thorin at this point?
I don't know. I mean, as much as we can hate on the guy, the dude is like a lot more successful than
no,
most
he
would
is
say.
Top of the game. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, Thorin is, he's like the 50-50. You know, sometimes he says the wildest shit and you're like, that's the truest thing I've ever seen. And other times it's like, holy shit, how did you type this out? You know, that's why I love him.
Yeah. Like, you do sometimes wonder, like, if his brain has that, like, should I hit send on this?
I think it's just like, boom, what's up? We're out here. Like, just straight sending. You know, shooting from the hip.
Mm-hmm. Glenn, I want to see unread tweets like that from you, man. Get into this TO game like a man.
Yeah, but I'll be outspoken as always, bro. Something never changed.
It's been great to have you on. It'll be great to have you on again in future if you're still involved in our sub-tweet scene. And yeah, that was episode number 82, Sargon. Don't fucking forget it. And thank you all for listening. It's been a great one. Don't forget to catch us all on the Twitters. Our guest, G_KAYY, Prophecy at Prophecy Gaming with the CI instead of usual Prophecy spelling. Me at K Chikte, and of course esportscentral.co.za on the World Wide Web. Don't forget there's a Facebook page, esportscentral.za, and a Twitter, esportscentral. Thank you all for listening. That's the wrap.
Cheers. Thank you for having me. Bye.